Hello and welcome aboard this podcast of RTÉ Radio 1's maritime programme Seascapes, which is presented and produced by Marcus Connaughton. You can email the programme seascapes@rte.ie. Hello and welcome aboard this week's edition of your maritime programme Seascapes. This week we've a report from the Optimist European Championships at the Royal St George Yacht Club in Dúnlaoghaire, Hugh Oram on the Enrights of Castleconnell and their world-renowned fly fishing rods. We'll have our competition winners of Kinsale Harbour, A History by John Thulier. We talk to Pat Murphy about a replica of the Asgard dinghy. First this week on Seascapes, we met up with Gary Villier-Stewart recently to find out about the Winifreda. She was built in the naval dockyard in Haulbowline in 1892 to carry gunpowder, and she's sailing again in Irish waters.
Well, Winnie, she's one of the finest ships that I know of that's afloat. Built by the Admiralty in 1892, thereabouts. Double diagonal skin, teak. On a skin of double diagonal teak on oak, copper riveted, and in its original time, lead line to keep it totally dry, because we suspect that it was used to carry powder from the island between, near Spike Island. There was a powder magazine factory out to the fleet, to Spike Island, out to the gun ships, gun ports, at Roach's Point and all there. And then steam came in, sail was probably mothballed, and then we don't know what happened. This is the first time Winnie's been back for 100 years, but when I saw the River Lee, when I saw that stretch of water, I thought, man, this is made for anyone's navy. And it's made for departing into the great Atlantic free trade area, and it's perfectly placed.
So tell me a bit about the family history and the connection with Winnie and how she came to, how you came to be at her helm today.
Well, I inherited Winnie from my father, and he not only left me the Winnie, he also left me a love of the sea, a love of the sailing, a love of adventure, and all that. And he inherited the Winnie from his father. And his father had a small fishing fleet off out of Helvick in County Waterford. And he had a Brixham trawler, and he had a Morecambe Bay prawner. And he had the Winifred as a lobster boat. And for 4 years, he attempted to make his living out of commercial fishing. And there's a famous character in Helvick known as Jimmy Graves, and he's still remembered and loved. Jimmy was my father's teacher. My father was a six-year-old boy, and Jimmy was a man who knew, if he didn't know it, no one else knew when it came to sea lore, sailing, and how, where the lobsters were and how to catch them. My grandfather then, he was a bit of a go-ahead person, because he decided the fishing wasn't for him, but he had another string to his bow, which was extracting nicotine from tobacco and selling it as an insecticide. After a while, he realized that most of the raw material which he needed for that business, scrap tobacco, was in Belfast with Gallaghers and Carreras and who knows who there. So he took himself, his wife, Michael, my dad, and the Winnie up to Belfast Lock, where she lived for 70 years, 80 years in Belfast Lock, where I was born, and where she was moored just off our house. So I could scull before I could walk, was the nature of my relationship with the sea. And my father, of course, encouraged this, because he was only truly happy and at home when he was on the boat, when the cares of the land left him, and the noise and the rock and the sway of the sea took him to a space where he absolutely loved.
And it's obviously, just hearing your enthusiasm for it, it's something that you love. The salt either is in your veins or it's not, and it's obviously been in yours from the time you were a small boy. Did the vessel ever make its journey up the Blackwater as far as Villierstown, do you know?
It did, before it went north. you used to be able to sail up to Villierstown, and Winnie was there and would anchor there, and my grandfather Horace would go to the big house there, Dromana, where he was born and brought up, and socialise with all the West Waterford crowd in a grand style, as you would in those days. And but since then, she went north. She went north first to Belfast, then to Carnlough, and finally I had the good fortune to marry a lovely lady, Rosie, whose grandmother was from Mull, and she inherited a cottage opposite one of the most perfect anchorages in the world. And that's where I keep her presently. I'm the Scottish Islands, a continuation of the west coast of Ireland, full of magic, full of bays, full of the Atlantic salty beauty, and awesomely beautiful. She's been to Turkey, she's been to Malta, she's been to Morocco, she's been to southern Spain, of course, and she's been to Finland, and she's been to Norway, and she's been to the Shetland Islands. So she's a very, very well-travelled boat, all without a VHF radio and not too much safety equipment. And that's how it was in those days. Well, there seems to be a sort of madness in our family. It's well known by the people who know us. So when my grandfather made some money, he put it into Winnie. When my father made some money, he did a big refit in 1964. He took the deck off, he took it back to her practically her ribs, and put a whole new superstructure on. And likewise myself, when I have any spare cash, and I don't tell my good lady wife this, I have a slush fund for the Winnie, and that keeps her going, but only just. Well, I do indeed describe the Winnie as my mistress, and I invite many to sleep on her, and she's always very accommodating. God bless her. And my wife is not too jealous. Built in Hall Boland, I've only discovered her. People ask me, what sort of boat is she? And only since I've come to Cork, I've realised what she really is. She's a Hall Boland classic. And that's how I'm going to describe her from now on. And she's returned to Cork for the first time in 100 years, maybe. And it's absolutely wonderful experiencing these waters, realising what a nautically favoured part of the world this is. And indeed, what lovely people live on its shores and has given us great hospitality. And for the last 10 years or so, Winnie has become a sort of floating recording studio. And myself and musical friends have gone to magical places all down the Irish Sea, in England, Ireland, Scotland, and particularly the Hebrides. And as far, eventually, as La Coruña in Spain, making music. And our last big adventure was the aspiration to sail her from Fingal's Cave in Argyll to Haifa Bay in Israel, because she just happened to be launched the very year Baha'u'llah, the founder of the Baha'i Faith, died.
You can see photographs and read more about the Winifreda of Green Island on the Seascapes webpage. Kinsale Harbour, a History, published by the Collins Press, is our competition prize here on the programme, and we asked you to tell us on what site was the Royal Dockyard in Kinsale, in other words, where there is now a hotel. We asked you to name that hotel, which had a maritime theme, and the answer was the Trident Hotel. And the winners are Esther Hode of Carrick on Shannon in County Leitrim, Shane O'Neill of Skerries in County Dublin, and Teresa Stapleton in Tipperary. The Optimist European Championships kicked off at the Royal St George Yacht Club on Dublin Bay last Sunday with over 250 sailors from 44 nations, the second highest entry on record for the world's most popular junior sailing class, with over 150,000 boats registered internationally. 32 European countries have entered teams of up to 7 sailors each, and they're joined by teams of up to 4 sailors each from 12 non-European countries. Seascapes was there on Wednesday, and we talked to race organiser Frank O'Byrne, whom we'll hear from shortly. But first, we met some of those attending as the young sailors took to the water. We talked to Don Moran.
I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, from the United States, and so we weren't expecting such fine weather. You know, we were expecting rain and overcast every day. Actually, I got a little sunburn yesterday, so far it's met our expectations. My name is Don Moran, And we're here representing Team USA for the European Championships. We had our championships in the States, which qualified the sailors to go to the World Championships, and then the Europeans, and then North Americans. So our four sailors here were in the top 10 of the country. And so that's why we're here. You know, as a young lad, my neighbors were into sailing, and they invited me to go crew on their boat. And so at the age of about 11, I started sailing, and it's been, like she said, in my blood ever since. And once I started having children, we belonged to the local yacht club. They started in the juniors program and then progressed into the racing fleet. So they just love it. My older two are 22 and 20. They sail recreationally. And then my 16 and my 14 that are here race competitively all over the world. So my wife and I kid all the time that they force us to go to places we probably never would have ventured to this time in our lives. And no, it's been great. We've gotten to see all sorts of different locations and spend quality time with our children. Cleveland, we have a big lake, Lake Erie, which is 210 miles by 60 miles. So there is actually, it's fresh water. There's a lot of good sailing. What limits us there is really just the length of our season. So we do a lot of traveling in the winter. My son actually was homeschooled this winter, and we trained down in Miami all winter. So I don't sail nearly as much as I used to. A bunch of friends of myself still race on a Melgus 32, and when the kids have off weekends, we still go sailing quite a bit. And we do our local Sunday and Wednesday night regattas. So. And we take the kids along with that. So I wish I could see more of it, but one thing that's been universal is the people here are so friendly. Everywhere we've gone, you know, people have been so accommodating and helpful. And so we were hoping to get out and do some more sightseeing today and tomorrow. So we'll hopefully that works out. You know, in the Cleveland area, there's quite a few Irish heritage, and mostly from the County Mayo. And my grandparents on my father's side, my grandmother was a Kelly, and my father obviously is a Moran, and they're from Westport to Newport. So absolutely, we're hoping to make it over to that side of the island.
My name is Ant Davey, and I'm an ISAF international judge from the International Sailing Federation, and I'm also the class judge for the Optimist class in Great Britain. Well, obviously it's amazing to have 44 different countries represented here from Europe and all four corners of the globe. The sailing here has been fantastic. Each day has thrown everything at us, all sorts of conditions, from gusty winds, changing winds, to light winds. So they've tested the sailors' skills very well indeed. To be very unfair, it's a bathtub with a stick on it. It has a square front. It was designed to be built from just a few pieces of plywood many years ago. It's very simple in its design, but it's actually very difficult to sail well. Certainly from Great Britain, we have Ben Ainslie, the girls from the 470s. Have all been in through the Optimist class, and I believe something like 50% of the sailors in the London Olympics had sailed in Optimist at some point in their lives.
So what got you out in the water in the first place?
I actually rowed crew when I was in high school, but it was the love of water, and I was introduced to sailing by my cousins when I went to stay with them in Canada when I was 19. So I started sailing then and just fell in love with it. It's, as somebody who works very hard during the week, sailing is fantastic because when you get on board, you cannot think about work. You switch off completely, and it's all about the sailing.
My name is Usha Balachander. I'm from India, Chennai, southeast of India. Dhandleri is a great place for sailing. It's like another summer home for us. Every year we come over here, we take sailing, it's just fun, you know, it's beautiful. Dhandleri is the place for sailing. Organizers are great, everything is so efficiently organized, the way they, you know, even the volunteers, everything is well organized, efficient, on time. I'm just learning a lot from them so that when I go back to India, I'll just implement some of these, whatever they are doing. It's going great so far. And, you know, my kids, the team is loving it here. So every year we are planning to come. You know, we have been coming to Ireland for the Irish National, combining with a couple of regattas here and there. It's fabulous. By traveling to other places, we learn a lot. And, you know, it's so that we can go back and try to, you know, do at least you know, some of those things, so that we can also be trying to be, you know, like what Frank O'Brien, the, you know, chairman, is doing here. He's awesome.
Yeah, we're really pleased. It has turned out fantastically. The weather gods have been in our favour. We've had two fantastic days racing so far, and it looks like we're going to have another cracker again today. To win the event, we had to make a pitch to all the nations to get their support for the event. So we went to the Europeans, the last three Europeans, and did the usual, as I say, shaking hands, kissing babies and all that. And we got there. So it took about 3 years to actually get this far, and it's obviously been ramping up over the last year, and increasingly so over the last 6 months. It's definitely the premier junior class in the country, and indeed in the world. If you look at the 2012 Olympics in London, I believe the figure is something like 60% of the medalists there all started in Optimists. So definitely it's where it happens in the early days for all junior sailors. On this particular occasion, we've been able to facilitate all the sailors ourselves on our own forecourt. Obviously, the Optimus being just over 8 foot long, they don't take up that much room, and we can run all of our logistics like that. We've had fantastic help from the port as well, Dunleary Harbour Company, and they have been a huge help. We've also had great help from local authority, Dunleary, Rathdown County Council, and also Forge Ireland. So we have a lot of people in the mix here, and it's only because of support like that that we can really consider holding large events like this. Really, you can only run an event of this size and complexity with basically all hands on deck. So we did a head count of the number of club volunteers, and indeed not just from our own club, we've been very fortunate, others coming from other clubs. And we have the headcount somewhere north of 200 volunteers at the moment. They are the engine behind all this, and really without their help, we just couldn't do it.
Race organiser Frank O'Byrne. You can see images by Gareth Craig of Photosail on the Seascapes webpage of the European Optimist Championships at the Royal St George Yacht Club in Dunleary. Next here on Seascapes, to writer and broadcaster Hugh Oram and a remarkable resident of Castleconnell.
It's a little hard to imagine these days, but once, just over 100 years ago, a small craft workshop in the village of Castleconnell near Limerick had a worldwide reputation for the excellence of its fly fishing rods. This wonderful handiwork was all down to one man, John Enright, who had incredible skills in both making fishing rods and casting with them. The person who introduced me a few years ago to the wonderful world of Castleconnell and the Enright legacy was Marty O'Brien from Ballyroan near Portlaoise, with his encyclopedic knowledge of the Enrights. And the more I heard, the more I became fascinated. In the late 19th century and into the early years of the 20th century, John Enright made really outstanding fly fishing rods in the village, continuing a long family tradition. The firm had been started in 1848 in Castleconnell by two Enright brothers, John and William, and within a few years they had become the leading makers of fly fishing rods in Ireland. One of the tricks of the trade that they used was splitting the green heart of the wood to make the rod, which made for far better quality than if they'd simply sawed the wood. William Enright's son John, our hero, came into the family business when he was just 12 years of age. The young John learned every aspect of the craftsmanship involved in making fishing rods, and he also got plenty of experience on the nearby River Shannon. John never married. He lived at the Shannon Hotel in Castleconnell, which was owned by the Enright family. But by 1890, when he was still a young man, John began tasting success in fly fishing competitions. At the 1896 fly casting competition staged at Wimbledon in London, John Enright won all five events, an achievement which ensured that he and his firm quickly achieved worldwide recognition. His record set in 1896 of 5 wins in 5 separate classes still stands today, including his world distance record of nearly 57 metres. When he came home, it was to a hero's welcome. When he arrived at Castleconnell railway station, virtually every man, woman and child from the village and the surrounding districts turned out to greet him. Many of the men climbed up onto the roofs of the railway carriages, and John Enright himself was carried shoulder high back to the Shannon Hotel, where the festivities went on for several days and nights. By 1900, Enright rods made in Castleconnell were being widely sold not only here in Ireland, but in Britain and the rest of Europe, and as far afield as Canada, the US, Australia, New Zealand and South Africa. One famous enthusiast was Tsar Nicholas II of Russia, who declared that he would use no fishing rods other than those made in Castleconnell. Business was booming for John Enright, who was giving much-needed local employment in his small factory. The last international fly-casting competition he took part in was a Franco-British tournament held in July 1908. John Enright wasn't feeling at all well, but he still gave a magnificent demonstration of fly casting. But 3 months later, on October the 25th, 1908, he died at home in the Shannon Hotel. He was just 44. John's father, William, had been a Catholic, and his mother, Catherine Dowling, was a Protestant. Their 6 sons, including John, went to the local Protestant school, while their 5 daughters went to the local Catholic school. On his deathbed, John converted to Catholicism, but no one outside the family knew about this. And when 3 of his brothers carried his coffin into the local Catholic church, a full-scale riot broke out because people in the village thought that he was a Protestant being buried from a Catholic church. After John's early death, the business stayed in the family and the shop remained in business. And the firm had a tremendous heritage, and in October 2013, some of the world's best flycasters came to Castleconnell to celebrate John Enright as part of the gathering. But at least John Enright didn't live to see the end of the golden era of fishing on the Shannon at Castleconnell. When the hydroelectric dam was built at Ardnor Crusher in the late 1920s, that stopped the legendary runs on the river of monster salmon. That tradition, along with that of the cots or small boats on the river, went into the archives, along with the incredible story of John Enright.
Hugh Oram and the Enrights of Castleconnell. The National Coarse Fishing Federation of Ireland are hosting the 4th World Feeder Fishing Championships on Inniscarra Reservoir near the village of Coachford this weekend. You can read and see more at www.ncffi.ie. Galway-based Sailing Club, for the first time in its history, are proudly hosting an All-Ireland sailing event for sailors with a disability. This national event will bring together the largest number of disabled sailors ever assembled in Galway for a great weekend of competitive sailing. There are 17 boats entered from Cork, Dublin, Belfast and Galway with 19 competitors. The All-Ireland Hansa 303 Nationals are in their 3rd year. Racing will take place from 1 to 4 on Saturday and 11:30 to 2:30 on Sunday, and all are welcome to come and visit. Irish Water Safety has appealed to the public to stay vigilant around water and not to become another drowning statistic. This appeal comes in the wake of the IWS drowning statistics for last year, which recorded 91 drownings, the lowest for 78 years. Next Sunday, Howth will remember the historic arrival of the Asgard. At the handing over of a magnificent replica dinghy to the National Museum earlier this week in Howth Yacht Club, we talked to Pat Murphy.
We're having a big commemoration on Sunday the 27th. There's a press release just out today on it, and we're going to have a reenactment of the actual landing with a boat, and we'll have a flotilla of boats. We're going to have entertainment down on the pier, people in period dress. We will have good prizes for those people dressed in the typical 1914 dress on it. And it's going to be a very big occasion, and quite right insofar as it's the beginning of the preparations into up the celebrations for 1916. And Mary Spring Rice, one of the crew, her big concern was that maybe the Primus might leak or something and blow out the whole lot of them up with the ammunition boxes. The whole thing's a fascinating story on it. And the other members on the crew in Asgard, of course, was Erskine, his wife Molly, Mary Spring Rice, Brigadier Gordon Shepherd, and the two fishermen from Gola Island, Pat McGinley and Charlie Duggan. That's the full six crew members.
And of course, then when they got into Holt, the first man out to them was Billy McConkie, who tied them up to the pier.
That's right. He was one of the persons that helped them out as well. Another man that was helping was a chap called John Kieran Cotter from Cape Clear. He was a fisherman on the boat called the Gabriel. And he and his crew saw Asgard coming in, did lower their sails, of course, and were drifting in. And they took the lines as well and helped to berth the Asgard just ahead of the Gabriel. And we will have representatives of the various families here on the 27, which is great.
Next week here on Seascapes, we celebrate the centenary of the Asgard, which, by the way, can be seen in the dedicated display at the National Museum in Collins Barracks in Dublin. We'll have wonderful recordings from the RTE Sound Archive and the voices of P.P. O'Reilly, Rory Childers with eyewitness Eamon Martin of Na Fianna, Billy McConkie, who tied the vessel up, and Pat McGinley from Gola on that historic voyage from Germany to Holt and landing those guns. Jerry Flynn will have the details about the latest edition of Inshore Ireland, and we'll hear about that replica Asgard dinghy from Pat Murphy. We visit the newly refurbished facility at Baltimore Sailing Club and speak to Commodore Joan Collins. All that and much more until next Friday night, tight lines and fair sailing.